Let us welcome those who will be watching by internet today with a wonderful hand of applause in his house. We have wished every man in our congregation a happy Father's Day, and let me wish each and every one watching by internet, men, happy Father's Day to you, and we hope that this is a day that you are honored and shown gratitude by your family. We're going to continue this series called How Do I Keep Balance in My Life and the Life of My Family, and we're going to concentrate mainly on men today and on fathers because it is Father's Day. If you're ever in Louisville, Kentucky, we'd love for you to come and visit us. We're in a suburb of Louisville, Kentucky, and again, welcome to our service at Cove Baptist Church. Take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to begin with verse 1 and go through verse 4. If you know your Bible, this is very familiar to you. Here's what it says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Here's the promise. That ye may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Would you bow your heads with me, please? So every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Father, may you truly bless our service today. We thank you, Father, for every father and dad that's here in our worship service today in our church. And Father, we're thankful for every dad that may be watching us on the internet. Father, we come to praise you first. Father, every man here needs to praise his Heavenly Father every day. And Father, we want to come thanking you for the strength you give us, for the grace you give us. Come thanking you, Father, for your most wonderful guidance in life. Father, may we understand, in the world we live in, there's a lot of stuff that pull at our men today. Some trying to make a living the best they can. Some wish they could make a living if they could find a job. Father, there's a lot of pressure on men today across this globe, from the young to the old. Father, may we understand how we are to look to you. Father, there is some great and wonderful advice here for all ages, and we're going to look at it this morning. Father, again, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' most precious and holy name. We pray. And everyone said, amen. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Children. Now, obviously, when I was a child, I obeyed my mother and my father 30-40% of the time. The other 50-60% of the time, I was punished.
Amen.
I didn't deserve it, but that's another sermon, another time. But obey simply means to listen to what they have to say and take their advice. Don't that sound sweet on the surface? Because if you don't listen, you're not going to know what they say. And if you don't listen to what they say, and if you're living under their roof, then there's going to be a problem. So, I know, and dads are saying, oh yeah, baby, come on, preach, preach, preach. So, children, what are we to do? Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, when I became a teenager, I was not a child anymore. So I thought I didn't have to obey anymore. Teenagers, you with me so far? I made a mistake. Because my parents had this motto. Of course, back then, they didn't put parents in jail. If you're under my roof, you play by my rules. Put your hands down. Don't you ever turn that camera on her. You hear me? And so as I got to be 15, 16, I got my driver's license. Yes, I'm going to admit to you, they did give me a car. Now, at this time, I am a whole lot bigger than my parents. I'm a pretty good sized fella at 16. I'm about 6'1", about 245. Today, I'm 6'1". Well, never mind. But at that time, I was pretty good size. I played football. I lifted weights. When I wanted to speak to my mother, I'd lift her up to my eyesight, spoke to her, and lifted her back down. Those were good days. Now, I never got really too big to whip, but sometimes when I was 15 and then 16 when I got my license, 17, when I did not obey, all I wanted was a whipping. When I was 5 and 6, I didn't want a whipping. When I'm 16, give me a whipping. Dad said, No, whipping never helped you when you were 6. It's probably not going to help you when you're 16. So he said, just give me the keys to the car. I said, no, I want a whipping and I want it now. My mother one time. Now, let me rephrase this. I threatened to call the police on my parents. And mom was pretty calm. She said, just give me about 15 minutes and they'll have a good reason. So I didn't call them. Because their motto was, you've got to sleep sometime, boy. You know, we all laugh and all that's cute and funny, but at the times when I didn't do this, I got in more trouble. And most time it wasn't because of my parents, just because I didn't listen. Didn't mean I had perfect parents, but they had gone through life and they knew what life could throw at you. I was just starting life. And the trouble of it is, if we really truly would learn to listen, we really would stay out of trouble. But we think we know it all. And believe me, I was at ages where I thought I knew it all, and I tried to tell them I knew it all. And they said, fine. It don't work that way. Like I said, I tried to raise my parents until I was 25. And it was something about that from the ages of about 13 to 24, they were some of the dumbest people on the planet. At age 25, they become the smartest people I ever knew. I'm being dead serious. They went from an uneducated to a doctor's degree in a matter of about a few months. It's called growing up, and the faster we learn to grow up, the faster we will be. Because, as you understand, God's word says obey your parents. You want God honored. Obey your parents. You'll get far in life. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Honor thy father and mother. This is one way to honor them, which is the first commandment with promise. Now, my dad loved this, and I'll show you why. That it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. My father told me, he said, you don't honor me, you ain't going to live too long. And he quoted that scripture. He said, that it may be well with thee. See, he interpreted this thee to be dad. I said, Dad, I don't know if that's what... He said, oh, that's what that means. Don't question me. That thou mayest live long... You do want to live, don't you? I remember one time, you've heard me tell this story. I was probably 13, 14 years old. My father was a deacon at a Baptist church in Louisville, and Mom wasn't feeling very well that night. So Dad had a deacon's meeting. He went on to the deacon's meeting, and Mom stayed home. It was in the summertime. And she said she wasn't feeling very good, but she allowed me to go out and play for a little while. I went about three houses down, and I had a BB gun at the time. And I took that BB gun. And my friend and I, there was a tree in his backyard where we could put a can up and we could take a BB gun and shoot at that can. And it was just a very, very, it was just a neat thing back at that time to do. And so I had my BB gun and I was, you know, aiming at that can. When you aim at something, that's all you focus on, okay? So let's say that I'm aiming at my mother at the moment. But if I miss my mother, that other wild woman behind is who I'm going to hit. So what I did, I aimed at this can and I missed the can and I didn't realize what was behind it, and it was a sliding glass door. Shattered that sliding glass door to 1,000 pieces. There was a man sitting in a chair on the other side of that sliding glass door, and it scared him to death. He come running out that door. He said, "Who shot out my sliding glass door?" And I was silent for a minute. Finally, I was raised right, and I said, "I did." He said, "Where do you live, young man?" I said, "I live 4 houses down. He marched me down, knocked on a door. Mom come to the door. She said, "Can I help you, sir?" She said, "Your son just shot out my sliding glass window with his BB gun." Mom looked at me and she said, "Is that what you did?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Sir, I'll give my husband a call. He'll come down and talk to you just as soon as he gets home." And he said, "That'd be fine with me." It's about 6 o'clock in the evening, 6:30. Mom looked at me. She said, "You getting sleepy?" I said, "No." She said, "Are you sure?" I said, "Well, now that you mention it, Mom, I'm a little tired." She said, "Well, maybe it'd be a good idea for you to go on in and go to bed." I said, "Okay." She gets on the phone and she calls my father at church and gets him out of a deacon's meeting and says, "Dale, you need to come home." He said, "Why? I'm in the middle of a meeting." She said, "Well, you just need to come home. Roger had an accident." Well, Darcy's up in age. I mean, he ain't wearing diapers no more. So what kind of accident are you talking about? She said, "Well, he shot out a window at a neighbor's down here with a BB gun. And he's quite upset. And I think you need to come home and go talk to him." He said, "Where's Roger?" She said, "Dale, he went to bed." Said, "Good, tell him not to move." So anyway, it took him about 20-25 minutes to get home. He came through the back door. I could hear it because it sounded like a cannon. Mom was waiting for him at the door and he said, "Where is he?" She said, "Now Dale, now listen closely. We can always, listen here, we can always put back a door. I'm too old. We can't make another son. It ain't the time to kill him. Calm down. Go down, talk to the man. Let's fix the man's door. After you calm down, we'll deal with what we got to deal with." Wasn't that sweet of my mother to do that? Give her a hand of applause, huh? I'll tell you the rest of that story at another time because it didn't have a pretty ending. All right. "That it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on earth." Oh, this is saying is, folks, there's nothing any better than getting along with your parents and your parents getting along with you. It takes stress out of your life. Here's the advice. Some of the greatest stress on the planet is when we do not get along with our parents. And parents, some of the greatest stress that you'll have is when you don't get along with your children. Now, let me listen to me and listen to me closely. This doesn't mean that you give in to your children. You don't do that because they're children. All right? You've been given a mandate to raise them right. When you raise them right, sometimes you have to draw a line in the sand. Sometimes you have to punish to protect. Let me say that one more time. Listen to me closely. Punish to protect. But guys, you know what I'm going to say here. There is a right way and a wrong way to punish. When my dad got done with my hind end sometimes, it hurt. He never touched me anywhere else but my hind end. Because it was big. It was fluffy. Now picture that for a little bit, why don't you? Mike Hibbs, picture that. I told you to picture that. The And folks, he knew that it would hurt with that scar in me. Don't you ever, ever cross the line when you punish your child. Listen to me closely. Because if you hurt a child, when you face God one day, you're going to be reminded, and he's got a way of reminding you that's not going to feel very good. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Now, Dad, we're going to close with this. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and animosity, animation. I can't pronounce it, but y'all see it right there. Thank you, of the Lord. Larry, when you put big words up here, it aggravates me. Don't do that. I know what it says. Don't worry about it. All right. Don't provoke. Now, how can you not punish a child and not provoke them? You think about that a minute. If I punish my child, I'm going to provoke them. But this is not what this is talking about. Because the right kind of punishment gives direction. And I will say this about my dad and my mom. Whenever they punished me, whatever that form may be, I knew why. Don't punish a child for punishing's sake. Don't punish a child because you're having a bad day. Don't punish a child because you and your spouse are having an argument. When it comes time to punish that child, whatever you do, you make sure they know the very reason. Because it's not about punishing, it's about directing. It's about guiding. And if you're trying to protect them, and if you're trying to raise them in the right way, you always tell your child why they are being punished. Do you hear me, dads? Do you hear me, moms? That is the way to do it. You don't ask for your child to agree with you, but you want that child to know why you are punishing them. Give the Lord a hand of applause in his house. Because this is where you provoke. If you don't let them know, if they don't know why you're mad, if they don't know why you're angry, then you're provoking them. Because they don't know. There's not a lesson here. Behind every punishment needs to be a lesson. If there's not a lesson, and that lesson is a godly lesson, biblical lesson, then all you're doing is punishing for punishing's sake. Your children pick up on that. That's not what it's about. You're trying to raise and direct your children in a godly way. Make sure they know why you're doing it. And bring them up. How? How do you nurture a child? After you've punished, listen to me closely, they need to know one thing. Maybe they're crying. Maybe they're angry. Maybe they think you don't love them. But there comes a time when you tell them why you did what you did and that I don't like doing that. I don't like punishing you. I don't like whipping you. I don't like taking the keys away from you. But it's because I love you. It's because I care for you. It's because I don't want to see you get hurt. I don't want to see you get killed. That I'm doing what I'm doing. That's why I'm taking the keys away. That's why I'm taking your allowance away. That's why I'm whipping you on the hind end. It's because I do not want you to get hurt. I want you to love God, respect God, honor God. And when you don't, your father is going to punish you. That's how you care. That's how you love. That's how you nurture. Men, it's the only way to do it. And I know most of you in here, and I believe most of you stand with me on that. Punishing is not for punish's sake. That is sick. When you strike a child, you hit a child, you punish a child because you're having a bad day, so help me God. You will answer for that as I stand here today. If you're directing them, you're guiding them, you want them to be a godly man, a godly woman, and you're doing it out of that, then God will honor you, back you, and God's word will do the same. Because when you do this, and you bring the Lord into it, it changes everything about how you raise a child. Now, I'm going to close with this because this is in my world and some of your worlds. What happens when your child becomes an adult? Oh, you can't wait for this, can you? Do you stop becoming a father? No. My two are grown. They were at the house yesterday. Matthew came in, got me two very sweet cards, and I got a little confused about my gift. They gave me a suitcase. I looked at their mother because I was confused. Am I going somewhere? Am I moving in with Carl, my neighbor? What? Because Carl would take me in. Because I've taken him in many a time. But it was a sweet gift. I mean, all these suitcases, five or six of them. Four for Monica, one little one for me. I mean, it was just wonderful. But see, my kids now learn to listen, and we've loaned out our luggage mainly to Matthew because he's traveled the world, and everywhere he goes, he loses one of our suitcases. The last time he went to Ireland, he lost every one of them. And so, you know, they've learned to listen, and they gave me this wonderful gift. We went out on the boat, just the four of us. Great family time. Hadn't always been great. We've had our share of disciplines, arguments. We've had to punish them, discipline them. But folks, when you really try hard when they're a child, when you try hard to raise them in the right way, because the Bible says that when they become an adult, they'll find their way back home. Amen. What do you think about that? Think that's the truth?
Yes.
Give the Lord a hand of applause. Would you stand with me, please? So every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Father, in the most precious and holy name, how we so thank you today. Father, may you truly be with every dad that's here. And Father, first of all, let me thank you that they're in attendance today. Father, it's my prayer that someone they've heard something to inspire them, to teach them. Father, it's my own self. Father, I do know you're a godly father as best I know how. There's not a dad here that hasn't made a mistake. We've all made mistakes. But Father, will you honor us today by allowing us to look to you, bow to you, ask you for guidance, and to thank you for forgiveness. Father, for those who may be watching the internet today, Father, forgive me. Number one, it's my prayer that every father here within the sound of my voice is saved, those listening by internet. But if you're not, there is no greater time to ask the Lord to be in your life and to save you, Dad, than this day. If you're watching by internet, no matter where you're at, it may be daytime, it may be dark, you may be in bed, you may be at your computer, you may be in jail, wherever you're at, all you've got to do. Say, Jesus, come into my life. I want to accept you. I want you to forgive me. And I promise you, wherever you're at, the Lord will do that. He will forgive you, love you, set you up, give you the keys to heaven. Only you will ask. Father, bless these moments. In Jesus' most precious and holy name we pray. Dads, at the moment, I'm going to invite you to come. I'm going to ask you to to stand down here with me at this altar. So every dad that's here, if you will, come down and join me, please, as your heads are still bowed and your eyes are still closed. While they're making their way down, everyone else, your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Dad, if you have an ability not to come, that's fine. But if you have the ability, I want you to come down and join me. I'm going to have a prayer with you in a moment. Father, as these men stand before you, Father, as fathers, may we rededicate our life to you. I pray for every man here. It's not easy being a man, but it's worth it. Father, you have given that responsibility to us. You blessed us with children. You expected us to be a father. For every man standing here, Father, I pray a special blessing upon them. Their children. Father, I pray that you will forgive us as dads where we have failed you. Father, again, I lift everyone to you. May you bless them in a special way. For Father, they're in your house today. They're where they're supposed to be. These are real men standing before you. May you truly, truly watch over them. In Jesus' most precious in holy name, we pray. Men, you may quietly go back to your seats. Larry, as soon as you can begin the music again, we would appreciate it, and we will open up our invitation hymn in just a moment. Again, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, our invitation is now open to any and all who want to come.